Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 138. On this episode, we break down the Reserva Maduro by Casa Cuevas. This is the first time we featured a Casa Cuevas cigar on the podcast, so pretty excited. And I'll tell you what, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. We had a week off, but we're getting back in it. We're hopping back on the train. All right, everybody, let's get into this podcast. I know what light reflection is. I don't know why it's relevant to this conversation.
You could point a light that way, and it bounced off on the side of our faces this way.
Like point one of these lights that way?
Yeah.
So you're saying like light cancellation?
Well, no, it's a slight diffuser, but it's just going to reflect the
light.
It's going to reflect it back here.
No.
And it's going to go that way.
No.
And then it's going to come here, and we're going to have a nice soft light on the side of our face.
Not happening.
Instead of lighting us like we're in a goddamn interrogation room.
It does feel like we're in an interrogation room. But you know what? It's all going to change soon.
That's true.
This is actually the last
episode.
The last episode ever.
Ever.
We quit.
We're done.
We quit.
Bye.
Game over.
Find somewhere else to listen to our bullshit.
Yeah.
Or someone else.
We've got 138 episodes. Just listen to all of them on repeat. You'll get your fill.
Well, it was kind of like the Mayweather story, you know? Like, we have a fucking flawless record.
Yeah, you got to go out on top.
And we're like, you know what? We don't want to risk fucking up the next episode.
Right.
So let's just fucking retire here.
Yeah, degradation of content is a tricky thing.
Yeah. Yeah, go out on top.
Yeah, sometimes you got to know when your shit's garbage. And we've just decided that this is no longer good anymore.
And if you want us back in the ring, you're going to have to pay a fuck ton of money.
That's true. Currently accepting sponsorships. this will be in this lovely background. Anybody who's watching it, actually, if you're listening to it too, we're probably going to do a pretty nice upgrade in equipment.
You're going to notice a change.
Really
in audio.
Cool microphones. Yeah, I mean,
just slightly.
I feel like the audio does sound pretty good.
Yeah,
when we record with what we're using, but we'll have an upgrade in some technology, which will be cool.
Yeah.
We'll have an upgrade as far as some aesthetics.
Yeah.
We're moving into a new space. If anybody who's following the podcast on Instagram knows that I've been doing a build out in the basement, which is going to be the new studio area, and it will be done. Actually, by the time you listen to this, it had already been done.
What I'm most excited for is that we're going to be the first cigar podcast to also do ASMR.
I don't know what ASMR means.
Look it up.
No, I'm good.
And then, but what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to be these sounds that trigger an emotional response in people.
Interesting.
And a lot of the times it's like sexual. So it's like really hot girls like getting up really close to their microphone. Like,
why do you know about this?
I just want you to know that this is the most soothing thing.
It's creepy. It's creepy. I don't like it.
And then it's like people that will like do Velcro, like real close to the mic.
Yeah, we aren't going to do that because the microphone setup won't be that nice.
Dude, ASMR with cigars would be pretty fucking hot. Imagine just blowing smoke into the microphone. Just like.
That doesn't sound. No.
Does that soothe you?
What does ASMR mean?
Oh, I think it's something like.
Don't call it something you don't fucking know what it means. That is a pet peeve of mine. No. You have to look up what ASMR means.
I always go by the acronym. A feeling of well-being combined with a tingling sensation in the scalp and down the back of your neck.
What does ASMR mean? It's clearly an acronym because no word is spelled like that. ASMR isn't a word.
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Change the name.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's called ASMR. Because it's easier to say.
I thought it was like BDSM for a second.
A feeling of well-being combined with a tingling sensation in the scalp and down the back of your neck. So it's supposed to soothe you.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're going to have the equipment to do that.
Hey, if you're interested in it, just message Corey on Instagram and say, we want a one-hour cigar ASMR video and podcast, and it'll just literally be us going,
do it, message me, do it, do it. It's a quick way to get blocked,
and then you go
dude, that sounds gross. Fucking end it now. That's fucking disgusting. Anyway, we got to get the fuck on with it. So new studio will be in it for the next episode. Should have it completely built out probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I would think. It'll be pretty much 99% cooked. And that's with everything. The actual build out of the basement will be done on Monday. But of course, we got to populate it with shit. I got to get this fucking desk down here. I got to put all this equipment back up, which is a fucking arduous task in and of itself. But we'll get it figured out.
Sure.
It'll be sweet when it's done. I'm really excited. It's literally soundproof to no end. So soundproof insulation, textured walls, the whole thing. Pretty much went all out on it, honestly.
Yeah. Corey is actually, because what he's trying to do is create like a beach. Because that's like his most serene, like relaxing place for him to smoke cigars. And because his wife said he can smoke in the house now, he basically said, I'm going to turn the basement into a beach and I'm going to put up like a sandbox on the floor. So when you walk into the space, it's just sand.
It's not a bad idea.
And then he's got like a fucking beach chair with a bunch of like UV bulbs at the top that are just raining down on him like sunlight. And that's where he's going to fucking smoke.
Dude, that would be awesome. I would love to have sand in the basement. But also, not allowed to smoke in the basement. Still haven't convinced her that's a thing yet.
Could you imagine the resale value on your home? Yeah, we got a beach in the basement.
Self-contained beach. Could literally advertise it as Midwest Ohio beach home.
Yeah, dude, it'd be great.
And you wouldn't be lying. Mm-mm. So yeah, that'll be built out, and I'm really excited to move everything back down there, and it's certainly going to help with the visual aspects of what we do, which will be great. Now, if I can just convince my wife to let me smoke down there, I can do everything down there. It'd be great. Slowly but surely trying to wear down. We'll see what happens. Anyway, so sorry we didn't have a episode last week. Obviously, I was not in the country. Well, I technically was in the country, but not in the country.
It's really my fault, and if you need to spank me, I'm cool with it. But just know if you smack me, I might make noises that are going to make you cringe, such as...
Gross.
So just be aware.
Yeah, it really wasn't your fault at all. But yeah, so I was on vacation last week in Puerto Rico, spent 8 days there. Felt like a lifetime, which was wonderful.
That's the best when it feels like you've had your full. Dude,
it felt like we were there for, because we split the trip. We went to 2 different places. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like when you leave the first place, it's like vacation over, but you're like, no, it's not. I still have, you know, a whole nother half to this thing.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It's like thinking you're going to end the game at halftime, but you have another half to play. It's really cool. So it was awesome because it felt like we were actually there. It didn't fly by. And we did pretty much everything we could. I smoked a ton of cigars. Like this was a trip. Cause usually like when I go on vacation, I get so consumed by where I'm at. I get so consumed by other activities that I forget to smoke as often as I want to.
Yeah, sure.
But because we were on the beach, we were in Puerto Rico. There was no shortage of opportunities to smoke. And I think I took 12 with me. And then I think I smoked like another 7 or 8 while I was there. And now, I went through, I think I only brought back 2. So it was pretty, it's more than I typically smoke on vacation, which I was really excited about.
Now, what you all need to know is that the translation for Puerto Rico is actually, in English, Rick's Port.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Yeah, settled by Rick.
Could you
back
imagine?
In 1340.
I shall name this one Rick's Port.
Yeah, that's funny. We actually did. So we went to one of the forts there at the point, and they have 2 forts technically. And it was really funny because been to one. You see one fort, you've seen them all.
That's true.
Seen St. Augustine fort. I've seen like 3 or 4 forts
They're
in my life.
Stone.
They all look the same. And we went to the Puerto Rican port. And I was bored 30 seconds into it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was just like, get me the fuck out of here. I mean, it's cool aesthetically. And if you've never been to one, it's neat because there's a lot of history there. But the Puerto Rico one's done so lazy.
Oh, I bet.
Dude, it gets millions of people. There's people just flying in and out of this place. And I was like, man, I want to go see where the jails are at. That's my favorite part. Cause I'm like, people died in here. Like, that's pretty dope thinking about. I was like, so
it's like
let's,
wars.
I was like, let's go see the jails. Battles. And I walk in this one room and I turn right and there's just a stack of like plastic purple chairs. And I'm like,
Takes away the immersion, doesn't it?
Dude, it fucking kills it.
Yeah.
They're one of the prison areas. So it's like this big, big kind of open room. And then there's another room off the back of it that has prison bars. And I was like, oh, there's part of the prison. And I walk in and it's just like an office with a refrigerator in it.
See, yeah.
And I was like,
it takes away the immersion.
Yeah. It's just, it was so lazily done. And you know that they're just like, well, this is a moneymaker, gives a shit.
Yeah.
People are going to come here regardless.
Like, you're like, oh, this is like the most beautiful place to look out through the fort windows where they used to rain down arrows onto. Right. Attacking ships,
exactly. Cannonballs
and,
everywhere,
and then right at the edge of the stone window is just like a little dum-dum used sucker stick wrapped up in
its. Dude, that's literally what it's like,
and it takes the mood out of everything when you
really
like
does.
When you start to realize like, oh, it's modern day.
Now, if they did like a fort reenactment there, that would create some excitement,
yeah,
because it does look cool, but at the same time, it's just like, oh, it's just a bunch of stone, and you know. Some cannonballs used to be here. That's about it.
You're like standing there really soaking it in. The fat Puerto Rican guy next to you is like, he's like eating a fucking Big Mac next to you.
Yeah. Everyone's sweating their dicks off. It's so hot in there. But yeah, so that was like an old San Juan. And there's a place, what is it called? La Perla?
Yeah, La Perla.
Nah, I don't know if that's it.
Sounds right.
Maybe it is. But it's this. So in Old San Juan, there's you have two forts. And like literally in between the two forts is like the drug town, which is literally fenced off by the government. So from what I've been told, there's kind of an agreement that it's like you do your shit down here.
But stay in
there. But you got to stay there. You can't come up here. So this is giant and it's all on the ocean, like right on oceanfront. And then it's just this huge fence, this huge wall that just surrounds this little shitty town.
Does it look like that weird village that they like rummage through in Bad Boys 2 when they're in Cuba?
So it looks similar to that. So they shot Fast and the Furious 5. They actually shot a scene
in
that little town. So it's actually there's music videos that are shot there. There's parts of movies that are shot there. So it's actually pretty popular and it's famous, but it's just like you don't go down there. They'll literally like if you go down there, you're gonna be in some shit. Like they'll ask you to fucking get out of there, but I don't think they ask very nicely from what I've been told. I don't know. But it definitely is blocked off from the rest of the city because Old San Juan is beautiful and it's just that really gorgeous, like those beautiful colors. It's just it's a fucking wonderful town to be in. I mean, I wanted to spend all my time down there because it's just there's no shortage of things to do. Some of the most highly rated bars in the world are there. We went to this fucking bar, dude. I kid you not. There's 7 bars inside one bar.
That's sweet.
So every single one and it's literally like top ranked 50 in the world. And you walk into the first one and it's like classy and, you know, kind of fun and whatever. Like music's not too crazy. And then the next room you walk into and they open them up at different times in the night. So this one's open.
So you transition.
And then you transition to each
one. That's sweet.
We never made it to the 7th. We made it to the 4th. Kevin and Aaron, my in-laws, brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they were going to try for 7 because they'd been there before. And the last time they were there last year, they don't remember leaving. remember how far they made it because if you think about it, there's 7 bars. You're ordering drinks at each one.
The whole time, yeah.
I literally said, I was like, I bet the 7th bar is just the alley out back and a dumpster.
Yeah.
Like, because you have fucking no clue. You're going to be so blacked out drunk by the time you get to the end of it.
It's like, wait till spot 7. And it's just them kicking you out the fucking door. Yeah,
exactly.
Just completely intoxicated.
Exactly.
Taking your wallet.
Like, we made it to 4 and it was like a dance club vibe. I was like, what the fuck happens in 7? I was like, is it a swingers club?
Dude, it's just a little small fenced in area with like a cow and a bunch of chickens in the back.
Where they do the cockfighting.
Yeah. That's sweet though. I would love to do something like that. That feels like an experience. It feels like a very controlled experience.
And their cocktails are amazing, dude. Their bartenders are awesome. So that place was really cool. Obviously, I went to, I'd say the two most popular cigar lounges down there, which is the Cigar House, which is down in Old San Juan. Great inventory. I posted a picture on Instagram, and it's just like a selfie of me, and you can see the whole humidor behind me. Very cool humidor, very big space, very nice people. They have a bar in the back, which is really cool. So you could drink and order drinks back there. But, you know, I love the inventory of that place, but I have to say I had so much more fun as far as the experience at the Casa de Monte Cristo down there. Mm-hmm. It's not as big of a build out. It's not as big of a humidor, but it's a place for the first time in my life that not only I got our my sister-in-law to go to, we got my wife to go to, got my mother-in-law to go to, and they actually wanted to go back. So we went twice because you could order these like little cheese plates and their fucking cocktails were out of this world. They had an amazing bourbon selection, amazing rum selection, as they should. Tons of alcohol, great bar, cool vibe. It was very classy, very nice, very well kept. So we went there twice and we hung out both times for a considerable amount of time. I spent entirely fucking too much money at that place. It was horrendous. I looked at a couple of my receipts and literally gasped. I was like, Jesus Christ. But they had the Davidoff Year of the Rat, which I had there, brought one back with me. Not gonna lie, overrated, not that great. Very expensive. Not my favorite Davidoff.
Did it taste like a rat?
Kinda.
Like you had a sewage rat.
And they got a little bit of a sewage rat. But the places were cool. And I love, hats off to that Casa, man. Our bartender, waitress, server there, she's from Chicago. So she obviously spoke great English, which was a plus for us. Not that it really matters down there, but it was great. She empathized with the cold weather transition. And obviously that's why we were down there for vacation. So she was really wonderful. And the whole staff there was fucking great. So I had to give a shout out to them. Awesome. Good. So good cigars too. Just like mostly high end shit.
Yeah.
Cause it's a Casa, but
what you do when you're in a different country and you don't know the Spanish language, just say, si,
señor.
And they're like, do you want me to kill you? Just say
see. Yeah. Oh man, I'll tell you this, one of the craziest things about being down there is just that obviously they got that devastating hurricane.
Yeah.
Was it last year, 2 years ago?
It's like 2 years ago.
I think it's been a couple years now.
It's like and right after Trump got elected.
You can still see the devastation down there. Like, I think some people just took their insurance money or like getting to get the fuck out of here. There's been a couple earthquakes. So it's just like a state of, it's weird because you see like these $1 million homes. And then next to a $1 million home is a house that's completely abandoned. You know what I mean? And it's, real estate is for sale. There's so much stuff for sale down there. So it's actually probably a pretty good time to buy real estate in Puerto Rico, I would have to imagine, because I do think you get some tax deferments too. If you're a non-Puerto Rican resident and you're coming from like the United States.
Economic growth.
Right. They're trying to get, and they actually have some really good, they have some good business funding too and tax deferments and for new businesses coming in, which is really cool. But anyway, it's just weird to see, even on the beach, even in the ocean, it's just like beautiful, beautiful places. And then just next door is just like a ravaged home, right? Where they just decided, I don't want to rebuild. I don't want to put money back into it. No one's bought the property since. So it's kind of, it's tough to see, even though I think, like you don't see not a lot of homelessness in Puerto Rico, from what I could tell in the areas that we're at. We're in Condado, which is like the San Juan area. And it's like resort beach type area. There's not a lot of that. So it's like, but you can still see like disparity, obviously, in income. It's like weird. Puerto Rico has like no middle class, from what I can tell. You're either making gobs of fucking money or you're just kind of like at the lower end of it.
Yeah.
And so, I think if you work in the service industry, really seems to be where like the middle class lies.
Yeah. I felt like that's how DR was.
Yeah. It's kind of similar. I'd say a little bit better than that, but still kind of similar. But absolutely, it's probably one of the most beautiful countries I've been to. We actually went up into the mountains, which was really cool. We hiked to a couple peaks. They're only about 30, I think it was like 3,500 feet up, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're climbing it, it's a ways up. And that was pretty cool because you get like the precipitation that comes through. You get these storms that just like fly through there, dude. It's crazy.
Oh fuck, you went to Rick's Mountain.
I went to Rick's Mountain, man. It was pretty cool though, but what a great experience. That's a place that we should go sometime.
Yeah, I would love to.
Just like on a little quick, like you can get there pretty quickly. You can do like a nice 4 or 5 days there and totally get your fill and come back. It was wonderful. But it was a nice reset, but that's why we didn't have a podcast. And that was intentional. We didn't record another one to put out because I needed a break. I think we both needed a break. It was a good time for a week off, I think.
Yeah.
But I did miss it. I'll be honest with you. I miss recording. So it was like I was ready to jump back in.
We got stuff done, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but We finally launched videos for the ones we've done on the website.
Yep.
That's been done. I wrote a review.
Yeah, Chris wrote a review. That's crazy. Now, if we could just get him to write something that's not Crown Heads, that'd be great. But you did write a review.
Actually, I did notice that.
Yeah, yeah. You should probably...
And it's because of the disparity in between time is probably why...
I wasn't going to say anything because I was just glad you wrote one.
It was serendipitous, kind of, that I've done mostly Crown Heads.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't do one yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. Did you post that?
I did post that. I posted it on social. So, hey, check out Hot Ticket Weekly.
I'll post it. People see it.
We got a new review out. It's the Archetype Curses.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did do the Archetype.
Yeah, sure as fuck did.
Far departure from what you usually do.
I know.
So that's pretty cool. So, yeah, we did definitely do some stuff to the site.
And in the review, I say specifically, it's not a Crown Heads.
yeah, for your enjoyment, folks. But yeah, so with videos on the site, which is cool. So every time we do shoot the YouTube videos, are now embedded in the website, so you can get all the content at one place, which is really cool. Yeah, we did actually feel like we did get a lot of stuff done. I think we're fairly caught up on a lot of stuff. We got to shoot some more videos, and obviously the basement built out and all that. So we're keeping busy. And a lot of stuff going on.
I'm figuring out the logistics on some merchandise.
Oh, yeah. Some merchy merch, finally. Something that we promised you guys forever ago.
2,000 followers ago.
Yeah. Sorry. but yeah, so merchandise will be coming. I'm actually really stoked about that, even just in like the quick designs I saw. Would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good stuff, guys. Good stuff.
It's going to be good.
We're rolling along. Yeah. Also trying to set up another podcast that will be really fucking dope. I'm trying to get the timing right. So once I get that figured out, we'll have a cool one coming up.
Sure.
Very shortly.
I'm all game. I'm total game.
I think everyone should be game.
I'm rested. Yeah. Put me on the field, coach. I'm ready.
Yeah, feel good. And you know what? It's fucking finally sunny out, so it's just a feel good day.
I feel good, man.
It's kind of warm outside. I was going to go to the lounge, but I think I actually just may smoke here because it's just nice and comfortable.
Yeah, dude.
Figure out what I'm going to do. But anyway, we do have a review today. And we're reviewing a brand that we've never featured on the podcast, but I did publish a review on one of their cigars, I think, about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That would be, what are we reviewing? The Casa Cuevas.
Yeah, man.
Reserva Maduro.
Reserva Maduro in the Toro.
And it was Robusto. But
Robusto.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, but they both end in O's.
Yeah, it's true.
That's my bad.
That is true. So before we actually get into the review, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to sip a little cup of coffee, probably take a laxative, but I'm a little backed up.
And I'm going to sit here and do some ASMR for you.
It'll be obnoxiously gross. You'll love it.
In the form of an ad read.
Oh, God. Spare us, please. We'll be back at you guys in just a few seconds. Hang tight.
I am struggling a bit. I've been feeling really overwhelmed when I walk into the humidor. There's just too many cigars to choose from, and I never know what to pick. I'll get the hot flashes, my IBS begins to act up from all the pressure of it. It'd be really nice if someone could just choose for me.
Well, have you ever heard of My Cigar Pack?
What in the dickens is My Cigar Pack?
Well, I'll tell you. My Cigar Pack is a premium cigar club designed to cater unique packs to your door through an innovative platform that takes all the guesswork out of choosing those perfect cigars.
Right you are, Corey. They send you 5 individual premium cigars, a reusable pouch with a Beveda pack, and an add-on item that complements your experience.
You can choose from 3 different options, a mild medium pack, or a medium full pack, and My Cigar Pack works hand-in-hand with real cigar experts and manufacturers to design each monthly combination.
Yeah, and you can choose between their monthly subscription pack for $39.99 or a one-time purchase for $49.99, and shipping is always complimentary.
Visit MyCigarPack.com today to sign up now. New customers will receive $10 off their first order. That's up to a 25% savings off your first pack. Type in promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive your $10 off. Again, visit MyCigarPack.com and enter promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive $10 off your first purchase. Get it, dongers.
Doing these breathing techniques.
That's
you got, dude.
You gotta stop fucking reading shit on the internet, dude, and believing it.
It was like crazy. So you like?
Do you know what DMT feels like?
Like being high. So here's what it was, man. It was the craziest shit. He's like, you need to sit down. He's like, the trick is when you do these, you want to squeeze your taint. I'm like, okay. So he's like,
I don't know if you're joking or being for real.
He goes, he's like, you got to breathe in through your nose and you got to do it for like 16 seconds. And then you do the next one, 19 seconds, and it's like 20 some seconds. He goes, he's like, you got to start off. He's like, you got to expel all the gases from your body. He goes, and then you keep doing that for like 16 seconds. And then on the 16th one, you go, squeeze the taint. Squeeze it.
Tighten it up. That's hard to watch.
And then you get like a crazy head high, man. Your body gets all tingly, and I did it. And I was like, this shit's wild, bro. And I was doing it in my car, which is even worse because I wanted to fly off the highway.
Dude, that's not... what you're getting there is just, I think, oxygen.
Too much oxygen?
No, probably not enough oxygen. Maybe too much, but it's not a DMT release into your fucking body that causes you to get... Dude, that guy is a fucking asshole.
Well, I felt great.
Yeah, but you've never had DMT to know what it's like.
I imagine it's like it.
Really? Do you know what DMT does?
Yeah, it makes me high, man.
Do you know what it means?
Detoxifying... Man,
not even close.
My taint.
That's probably literally what that guy showed you. But I can tell you right now, there's not enough DMT you're going to get out of that that's going to do anything for you hallucinogenically. It's just not going to happen.
Maybe.
I mean, the fact that you... How much time did you spend in this exercise?
10 minutes. I did all three rounds. I said both three rounds. I'm an idiot.
It's hard to be your brother sometimes.
Hey.
That's very challenging.
That's okay. Maybe I'll like get out of the whole like live a healthier life and just do ASMR.
Ah, Jesus Christ. All right, let's get into this fucking review. We're reviewing the Casa Cuevas Maduro Reserva, which, by the way, is a fairly new release, obviously, under the Casa Cuevas line. So I think it technically is it a 2019 release? We're right in 2020. When did I get these? Oh,
I think
it's a very recent release, I believe. So let's get into it,
dude.
Let's not waste any more time.
Yeah.
Before we actually get into the wonderful components of the cigar, Chris, how do we break these down,
dude? We reviewed this Jose Cuevas with the utmost fucking process, bro, and we broke it down for you. See, each Jose Cuevas starts with a total of 60 possible points. It's broken down into three main parts. 10 ounces of construction, 20 parts burn, and 30 shots of flavor. We then deduct points for less than optimal construction, burn, and flavor, and see if this Jose Cuevas is fucking worth a 1% bonus or deduction. Finally, we average out our individual scores, giving you guys our total rating out of 60. Let's get into this, bro.
Let's get into it. The Casa Cuevas Reserva Maduro.
It's Jose.
Jose Cuervas. Jose Cuevas. Boasts a Mexican San Andreas wrapper, Dominican binder, Dominican filler combination. We smoked this in a Robusto. It's a 5x52. Comes in at around the $10 price point.
Yeah.
Which is average, to say the least.
It's about average. Yeah.
I will say this. The Casa Cuevas name is one that's been on the market for a little bit, but I wouldn't exactly say that they're the most well-known brand. It's like it's out there. It's, you know what it's like? It's like if you, the movie Little Giants.
Okay.
Right? In the beginning, you have the two brothers. You have the dorky little brother.
Sure.
Right? Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
And then you have Al Bundy as the big brother.
Yeah.
Right? And then you've got like the group of like football player friends. I think it's all the football player friends.
Yeah.
And then Casa Cuevas is like the dorky little brother that's kind of tagging along a little bit. Now, but what happens in Little Giants?
The underdog story.
That's what I'm talking about. So the name has been out there, but I don't think anybody, I think there's still just kind of some unknowns about their brand. I really like the fact that they're branding and marketing themselves to a pretty high degree. So they're, I think even on like social media and everything else, they're out there. They produce cigars, but they're just not like, they're not stuff that you regularly find in B&Ms. Like you're not going to go to anywhere in some of the remote cities of like, let's say Ohio or a lot of other places where you're going to really find their stuff stocked on shelves. But they have a name in the industry.
It's fucking baffling because they're fucking killing it in liquor.
That's true. Just dominating.
Dominating
that tequila world. So let's get into it. I was excited to break this one down again because this is the first time we've actually featured a Jose Cuevas on the podcast.
Yeah.
Again, featured one in a written review, which you can check out at www.hotticketweekly.com. You can check out that review on one that I think, I don't know, it's like 2 months ago probably.
Yeah.
But this one is the Reserva Maduro. And you know, every time something is like Reserva, I put it and I set a higher expectation for that cigar. Just from the name alone.
It was reserved.
It is reserved.
For you.
That's true. All right, let's get into it. Chris, what do you think about the construction of this cigar?
I'll tell you what, bro. You know, it is what it is. It's a good constructed cigar. I will say, I'm so used to like buying cigars that feel like a brick shit house. This one really wasn't like that. I felt like it was just a kind of a nice squishy cigar, and it wasn't over humidified. It's just sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised by the bunching that happens with every brand. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
We had the K Rojo from Columbus, and that was the squishiest fucking cigar I've ever had in my life. But it made sense when he smoked it because it's like, oh, it's like a balance thing, right?
Sure.
And like this one was not like a fucking tire iron, you know, like tire iron. It was you know, it was like kind of squishy, like a dildo or something.
That's weird.
But what I will say about this cigar, outside of its really nice construction, kind of bumpy, kind of wavy, kind of squishy. But the one thing I loved about it, honestly, and this goes out to branding more than construction ratings, is I thought that blue band was like fucking, that blue band was so pretty on it.
Yeah, it is pretty aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
It's just blue silver combination, which is actually, it's not overly complicated, but visually appealing.
But I thought the construction was more than above par.
Sure.
Or lower, if we're golfing terms, it's right. Under par.
Right, under par is where you want to
be. But know
that
that's a positive, not a negative.
Right. Literally the only sport that
does that. Yeah, I know, it's fucking weird.
I had kind of the opposite of you. I thought it was, the cigar that I smoked was extremely firm. It actually seemed like it was dehydrated. Weirdly
really?
Enough. Yeah. And super
Ooh,
toothy.
Like a mummy.
And the only reason I say that, and I don't know that it was or wasn't, I take very good care of my cigars. Everything is controlled to the highest degree. So I know that there was enough humidity in the cigar, but it had a skeleton-like look to it.
Maybe
it
that
seemed
was
to
the,
be a bit emaciated.
Maybe that was the wavy look I was...
Yeah, and it just
wasn't like very straight.
I would say even the band was loosely wrapped around the cigar, which would lead me to believe that it was not as hydrated as perhaps it should have been. And I don't know if it's not because of my controlled environment. So I don't know. I was kind of baffled by it, but I will say this.
Yeah.
It's still very aesthetically pleasing. It is a very dark, rich wrapper. I mean, yeah. It is a really kind of a Scuro color, even though I think it's labeled, obviously,
Maduro.
It's Maduro.
Yeah.
But it was much, to me, aesthetically much darker than what you would see in a traditional Maduro. I'd say the only thing that I really didn't, or I was kind of unpleased by, and this is just more, let me put it this way, wonky cap structures are a pet peeve of mine because it just shows me laziness. Now, I've constructed a cigar before, so I know what goes into it, and I've constructed my own cigars, and guess what? They all had lazy cap structures because I'm not a cigar roller. But if you are a cigar roller, I would expect a little bit more in terms of, and I'm not talking about perfection, I'm just talking about attention to detail. Dude, the fucking thing was all over the place. It's like one cap and the other one, and the other one's kind of on top, but not glued all the way around, so part of it's peeling up. And then I don't even know if that's because of the dehydration on the cigar, because it did look like Skeletor. I don't have much patience for the laziness in that.
You know what I think it is, bro? I think the person that made yours
was blind.
Was probably taking a couple sips from the stock. You know what I'm saying?
It's very, very possible.
He might have been He might have been stealing money from the Jose Cuevas. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
drinking on the job, drinking his own supply.
I sure hope not.
You know? Because
it sounds illegal.
Because it sounds like your dexterity and your precision to do the job you were hired to do.
It's coming into question.
Could be challenged when you're drunk.
That's very true. A drunk cigar roller is not a cigar roller at all. But I will say this. I thought other than that, it was actually a really, really nicely made cigar.
But I did know that I have a friend that works at Jose Cuevas. And he said they do get served tequila during the day at the job.
It's kind of like workers in China that if you don't give them like a ping pong table, they're going to throw themselves off the roof. So you've got to do something for your employees. Yeah. Moving on to burn. Chris, what did you think about the burn on this cigar?
I mean, for what it was, mine was not a real hard cigar, which is crazy that me and Corey's are so drastically different.
I came from the same batch, too.
Yeah, so that said, real fucking airy. Real airy. Like, 1-2 puffer, pretty decent smoke production, but I feel like because it wasn't tightly packed with a lot of tobacco fillers, there's not a whole lot burning. Therefore, not producing smoking. But that said, it was nice. It was a nice kind of airy draw, almost like a box press, even though it wasn't a box press. But it was a nice. It was a pretty nice draw. I would say it would burn pretty consistently for most of the time. But then it gets kind of. It got kind of weird on me, like about the halfway point, like right before I was gonna do a whole test where I did have to correct it. I'm not sure why, but. You know, shit happens, you know. I think my cigar was drunk too. But
it's possible.
But the thing was, I did have to correct her. You know, you got to slap her. Wake her up. Maybe she got a lazy eye, hence the run. You know, you just had to correct her. I did the correction, did my whole test. Put that cigar down for 5 minutes. Made me a mixed drink of Jose Cuevas, and 5 minutes in, I chugged that drink, put my cigar back in my mouth, and was it still lit? It was. It stayed lit for the rest of the time, except for that one burn issue. But my burn was pretty good.
That's good.
Pretty solid.
I guess it did have some commonality with you in terms of that even though the cigar itself, construction-wise, was very firm, which I enjoy, and especially in like that nice Mexican San Andreas wrapper, it's usually typically pretty firm. Sometimes you get a good toothiness on it. I like that in a cigar. Mm-hmm. But I did notice that it seemed to be that firmness kind of only held true really on the wrapper, and it did seem to be a little bit more airy in terms of the fillers, which isn't bad because the smoke production on this cigar and the draw were pretty damn good. This is one that I punched. I've been getting more into punching cigars than I have. I'm just trying new techniques. I obviously still very much 100% V-cut fan. But I've been really trying to utilize different cutting techniques and styles just to kind of, you know, aim to see some of the variances and differences in them. And I've really enjoyed punching cigars recently because the punch that I have currently has two different sizes on it. So if you have a thicker ring gauge cigar, you can obviously get the one that cuts out a much larger diameter hole. Or if you have something that's a little bit smaller, I've got a smaller punch and literally you just rotate the two. That creates a bit of a smaller hole. What I really enjoy about the punch is I really like the directed flow of smoke. So especially on a cigar like this one where I can already anticipate that it's going to be a little bit of a looser draw just based on how the cigar feels, I can tighten that up by cutting a much smaller hole in the cigar as opposed to straight cutting or V-cutting, which is leaving a lot more of that tobacco open and exposed.
Yeah.
So I'm really concentrating the tobacco and the smoke draw coming through, which on this cigar was perfect. It was a really, really good resistance, really good plumes of smoke through what is considered a much smaller opening than you would typically have in a V or a straight.
That's true. And, you know, I haven't done it in a while. But sometimes giving your cigar a pee hole is like really also great to get more flavors out of the wrapper.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it a lot. Yeah. I really enjoyed the smoking experience on this cigar in particular. And I've punched a lot of, most of my cigars recently, I've punched probably in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Give that donger a pee hole.
It was great. It was great. It was actually, in terms of the burn, was as good or adequate. I wouldn't say perfect, but it was actually really nice. It did have one pitting issue at the end. I was rooting for this cigar, honestly, because I'm like, man, everything's been great. It's a nice, even, consistent burn. No running, no canoeing, nothing. Yeah. Burn exactly what you want to, and I'm really getting close to the finish line, and I can start to see some of the smoke dull based on the draws that I was given. Yeah. It. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. I've hit a bit of a pit here. And I was kind of hoping that it wasn't going to go out, because I was rooting for the cigar as a whole, because I was really enjoying it up until that point. But it did get one pit, and it was a quick relight, quick attempt back. Didn't feel that it really charred anything to the degree that created harshness. Also getting towards the end of the cigar, which it naturally kind of does that anyway. So it wasn't hugely detrimental, but just kind of more of an annoyance than anything.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was a fantastic burn.
Sure.
It was really great. So Chris, arguably the most important piece of what we do in terms of our scoring process, what did you think about the flavors of this particular cigar?
I'm so glad you asked. It was a savory and creamy cigar. And it was like that for majority of it as well. It was just a nice, it was like kind of like a medium bodied, not really like too full of flavors, but it was like savory and creamy. I think it's par for the course, and a little bit tangy just for that Mexican San Andreas wrapper. But, it was just a really nice medium cigar, if that makes sense. I don't know. We don't always smoke these, and I want to say for the last several reviews, we haven't really had like a milder cigar, but this one felt like a milder cigar to me, and it was just a nice flavor profile. Spice was very minimal, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a nice flavor. It was like a chill flavor. It's like one of those cigars where if you just wanted to like relax or something and just like do your thing, you know what I'm saying? Drink of Jose Cuervos. Dude, this is a good cigar, man. This could be a rum cigar.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything too challenging about this cigar. I do agree with you in terms of the San Andreas wrapper, which always offers up a nice tanginess. I didn't get any pepper, spice, anything like that, even from the initial get-go, even off those first few draws. It really just goes into that very strong tangy from the wrapper. What I really enjoyed about this cigar, which is something that I typically don't enjoy, and maybe it's just the balance of the wrapper types and the filler types, but it's gonna sound a little redundant, but it had this nice smokiness to it. Not smoky, smokiness. It was weird. It was like just a nice subtle woody flavor.
Oh yeah.
And also kind of intermixed with a little bit of that sweet and creamy, and which is not an overpowering flavor at all. And I would say in terms of flavors, probably more of like 10% of the flavor is just a mild sweetness.
Yeah.
But it balances great with that woodiness and that tanginess. So it's a profile that I feel like I typically wouldn't enjoy, but I really, really like this cigar all the way through. Actually, I think the flavor to me, because it is a little bit of a departure of what I'm used to, especially with the Mexican San Andreas wrapper, I'm used to the Nicaraguan binder and filler intermixed with that.
Right.
Not two Dominican combinations with it. And I thought the combination was fucking awesome. I anticipated I wasn't going to like this cigar. And I actually went into it with a little bit of bias, saying like, this isn't going to be my thing. And I was pleasantly surprised to say, like, holy shit, I actually really enjoy this cigar. I like the flavor a lot. Honestly, wish I would have had it in a larger vitola, because I would have liked to see if some of the consistency and flavors that I really started enjoying at about the halfway point to the finish line would have remained in like another inch of the cigar. Would it have changed a little bit, or would have it kind of drawn back to more of the predominantly tangy flavors in the beginning? But I think that this cigar is very thoughtful around the flavors overall. I think they blended something really fucking good here, and it's just not a, hey, let's bring this thing to market. It's actually, not only was it a great cigar, but when we talk about it in terms of pricing, comes at the $10 price point, even I was thinking, hey, Casa Cuevas doesn't have the most, I don't want to say they don't have the biggest brand representation in the industry. They're known for sure, but they're just not like, it's not mass marketable at this point. So I'm looking at it going, okay, well, if you're, I don't even want to say a new brand, but if you're not as well known, you're getting your name out there, can you charge for a Robusto and this particular cigar $10 on average, when you're really kind of interlaced and intermixed with all these other brands who have brought great stuff to the industry, which have better branding power, better marketing power, and so on and so forth, much more well-known, can you compete at that level? Can you compete at that $10 level? And this cigar, again, bias forward, I'm thinking probably not going to do it, but it's a fucking great cigar. I love the flavor combinations. I thought they were fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
For it not being my typical thing, as far as flavor goes, it was a really good cigar.
I think that's probably what I liked about it the most, is it's not something that I would typically smoke and you would probably typically smoke. Like, you're not going to pick that up off the shelf, but I'm really glad that I smoked it, because I will say this, the previous Casa Cuevas cigar that I had, just like in a Lancero, had a really good flavor profile. I had other challenges with it outside of that. So my experience has been fairly neutral. I have other ones in my humidor that I'm, of course, going to be smoking, you know, over the course of the next few months. But this one in particular, just kind of look at it and say, okay, this is a Reserva, right? And I'm kind of looking at it and saying, okay, this could be a really healthy cigar for us to put on the podcast. Let's see where it lands, type of thing. Sure. I think it could have went either way.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's on the right half of the spectrum of being really good, and actually probably, I would say, much better than what I would initially give it credit for. It just ended up turning out to be a great cigar, and that $10 price point, personally, I thought was appropriate.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think you guys understand. Like, when I say this isn't my thing, but I really enjoyed it, just keep in mind, I like my cigars like dating a woman who's into BDSM. Like, I like to be choked. I like to be suffocated. I like to be burned. You know what I'm saying? I like to be tingled, like numbed. Like, that's my type of cigar.
Yeah.
And this is polar opposite. This is like, it's like dating like a preacher's daughter. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Just real tame. She's sweet. She's a sweet girl, just real tame.
Yeah.
Missionary.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's definitely more of a tame cigar. I do agree with you in that, and this is where the color piece of it shouldn't fool anybody. It is a more mild cigar, in my opinion. Mm, yep. I do think it boasts great flavors, but there's nothing overly challenging by this cigar. Like, this isn't a cigar that I would tell somebody who, you know, may not like something a bit more bold in your face. Like, I wouldn't challenge to say, like, hey, there's too many people out there that couldn't enjoy this cigar, even if you're not a regular smoker. I think you could pick this up and really enjoy it at any time.
For sure.
I think most people could. So I already said I think it's appropriate at the $10 price point. Chris, what do you think in terms of value?
It's totally appropriate at the $10 price point, but I will say this, and this goes back to your point you made as far as hanging with other brands. Honestly, if you want to get this into more people's humidors or purchases at your local B&M, I think a $9 price point would probably be the most appropriate for the cigar, maybe even an $8.50. Not to say it's not worth $10. Don't get me wrong on that. But when people don't have your brand and you want people to have your brand,
you kind of got to be careful, right?
You got to put it at a price point that's enough for them to go, it's $8.50.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I would say they're obviously doing a good job in making good cigars and using good tobacco, so that's the plus. I think it's just the brand representation, getting the name out there, which of course I know they're trying to do to a very high degree. Mm-hmm. I know the folks that do marketing for Casa Cuevas, so I know that the brand name is getting out there more and more. You're seeing them more represented in the marketplace, which I think is great. I'm never one to really... I don't shoot for the oversaturation at all in any market. I think it becomes dangerous at a certain point. But the cigar industry still, I think, has a lot of room to grow, and it is in a pretty good boom right now. But I like to see brands like Casa Cuevas, who set themselves apart from the other guys who just decide that I want to start my own brand and have someone blend for them and just try to put shit out there. It was weird. I was having a side conversation with somebody yesterday. I guess I could probably say their name. No, I won't say their name, just in case I say something bad in this conversation. But we were just bantering back and forth in terms of cigar, you know, folks coming to the market and really assessing which brands are going to last, like which ones are really going to put good effort into blending great cigars and do thoughtful marketing versus the ones who just, I want to come out with a brand because this thing is popular. It's similar to the bourbon world right now. You have like celebrities who are starting their own brands. You're seeing that a little bit more in cigars too, but it's the intentionality around it. Are you really bringing something out that's great? Are you really just trying to throw your name on something and we were kind of making fun of the fact that a lot of these brands are just taking their cigars, giving them to every fucking hot girl they can find on Instagram who smokes cigars and says, hey, promote our brand. Dude. Which, of course, those girls are going to oblige, right?
Yeah.
But there's no sustainability in long term in that because you're not producing a great product. And if you're marketing it to those who can really speak intelligently about it, no offense to these girls, if you're not doing those things, your brand is going to be a blunder pretty quickly. It's going to fall off. So the assessment of these brands, and this is what I'm drawing back into this conversation about Casa Cuevas, they're ones that seem to be kind of surpassing that initial like thrust into the industry and actually creating some sustainability around their brand. It's really nice to see. Like, I've seen these guys out before. I saw them at an event before. So they're getting themselves out into the marketplace, which I think is awesome. Need to see brands like this put more of their mind, body, and soul into the effort as opposed to just sending shit out to people and saying, can you post a picture? And because X girl is holding my brand, this is why you should buy it. There's a lot more thoughtfulness that seems to be going into the branding of Casa Cuevas and the blending of their cigars. And they're actually trying to make and create a reputation for themselves, which is good to see.
Hey, and I don't want to take away any of the romanticism around starting your own cigar brand if you like love the idea of creating your own brand. But just know it's a fucking grind. Yeah. And it takes like fucking boots on the ground to do it right.
Yeah, it does. Feet on the street, man. It's
these Instagram posts and these hot ass things with these girls ain't gonna fucking work.
It's a grassroots effort if you want to make it meaningful. Yeah. I'll leave that there because we need to get the score of the cigar. We both, I think, awarded this pricing appropriate. So no bonus or delta. Chris, what is your score overall?
I'll tell you what, 10 out of 10 construction. Nice little soft squeezy baby. I love a little pudgy lady. You know what I'm saying? Even though she's a preacher's daughter. 19 out of 20 on burn. Pretty good burn. Had one little correction. She got a lazy eye. 25 out of 30 on flavor. Not my thing, but still fucking great. Thought it was priced appropriately. Mine comes at a 90% flat.
Nice. Pretty good score. My construction score, 9 out of 10. Lazy cap structure. Someone's drinking a little too much of the tequila on the job. you get awarded 9 out of 10 for the construction of this cigar. All things considered, pretty damn good. Burn on this cigar, 19 out of 20. I was rooting for the cigar as a whole. It was coming up to the finish line, got one pit and about the last inch of the cigar. And this is a cigar that I wanted to finish, right? This is one that I wanted to be a finger burner. So I was like praying to God that I wouldn't get a pit. But I got a pit at the end and did a quick relight, back up and running, 19 out of 20. Flavor for me was pretty outstanding. I awarded the flavor a 27 out of 30.
Oh, shit. That's
one of the better cigars.
Great. That's like very good.
Legitimately one of the better cigars I've had in a long time with such a change up in flavor, right? It's just not something that I smoke frequently. So I think part of it is like a weird new palate sensation.
Sure.
And then part of it is like it's actually incredibly enjoyable. And I was even thinking about that as I was smoking. I was like, do I like this because it's different or do I like this because it's good? And I like it for both reasons. So I awarded a 27 out of 30. And that gives me a total score of a 91.7, which I'll round up to a 92, which give us about a rounded out score of a 91.
Almost
and
a 91. Yeah.
That's great.
That's pretty fucking great, man. I got to give it up to Jose Cuevas on this one, you know? Killing it in liquor. Going to be killing it in cigars, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
So just because I want to make sure that the brand is represented well on this podcast, it is definitely Casa Cuevas. Chris is just doing
I'm not his, sure that's right.
He's just doing his thing. He's doing normal Chris stuff. I thought the cigar was awesome. I can't wait to smoke more. Good. They actually have this in a Connecticut too, which I'm not a fan of Connecticut. So I'm just going to come out and say it. I get why people do it, but I am actually kind of excited to see with the different filler types in a Connecticut wrapper how that's going to turn out. But I will say this, for the Mexican San Andreas wrapper, the Reserva Maduro, I thought it was great. I think it's worth the price. And I would say anybody who hasn't had exposure to this brand, go online, look for it at your B&Ms. May not be able to get it, but even if you can't, look for it online. And I would say definitely when you get a next batch of cigars, make sure this is one that you include. I think you'd enjoy it.
Sure, man.
That will conclude today's episode. It's good to be back. I felt a little rusty, honestly. I mean, I think it's just because I'm tired. But it'll get better. I think it'll get better in a new space.
It's crazy.
I think I'll feel more comfortable.
It's crazy when you have that one little trip, you know? Say it was like it's kind of a play on words. You did have a trip,
right?
But I mean like trip as in like a stumble, right?
Yeah.
Because we haven't lost pace.
No.
But it's just like you skip 1 week at the gym and now you're sore, right?
Right. Which I am that too.
That's what it is.
My cheeks are sore.
We just got to get back in the routine, guys.
That's it. Got to get back into the swing of things. But this was is a good episode, all things considered, because we got to put a new or a newer brand, newer to our podcast.
Yeah.
We get to kind of float it out there, which I'm really excited about. And hats off to people like Casa Cuevas for making a dope ass cigar and sending us samples on it. We appreciate that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tit for tat. Anyway, that'll conclude episode 138. You can visit the recent reviews we had, and you can check out the old podcast. You can check out the videos now, all included on the website, www.hotticketweekly.com. So make sure you check those out. You can get all those reviews, videos, and interviews all on the website.
And soon there will be a video section on the site. But right now, you got to go to each individual post for the Riscar reviews to actually see those videos.
Amen, sister. All right, everybody, have a wonderful week. We will be back at you, next week? Next week.
Next week.
We'll be back at you next week with episode 139.
We're back, baby.
See you, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. How can you get a hold of us? You can get a hold of myself on Instagram at the Hot Ticket Pod. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and other. And we're also up on YouTube. So please subscribe on YouTube. You can watch all the videos there. And please visit our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack. You can visit them at mycigarpack.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. We'd greatly appreciate that. Always helps. And until next time, enjoy, everybody. We'll be back at you next week with a new episode. See ya.